We're now pleased to be joined by Todd Rosenbluth, Director of ETF and Mutual Fund Research at CFRA. Todd is on the line with us from New York. And I always say Todd is simply one of the best in the business at covering ETFs. And CFRA is one of the leading independent investment research providers. Todd, as always, great having you on the show.
Thanks, Nate. Good to be back with you and appreciate the kind words.
All right, Todd. So we're going to get into this discussion around SoFi zero fee ETFs and certainly the Vanguard ETF fee cuts. But you and I haven't talked since the Inside ETFs conference in early February. And so I thought we might spend a few minutes on your takeaways. But before we do that, I have a surprise for you.
Oh, good.
And I have to point out to our listeners, you actually got up on stage at the conference in front of hundreds, I don't know, maybe 1,000 people, and you rapped about an ETF. And it's your lucky day. I scoured the interwebs to find a clip of this. So here goes your rap debut on ETF Prime.
When the market gets choppy and trends start to slow, better constructed boats perform best, Ben, don't you know? Screening for low debt leverage and profitability, CARP uses quality twice. But CFRA agrees many of the stocks inside the fund trade at a reasonable price. When our top-rated analytical team looks under the ETF hood, we think Boeing, Intel, Visa, and Walmart are still looking pretty good.
All right, so I have to ask you, have you ever actually rapped in your life before, let alone in front of 1,000 people?
So I'm not sure I still have. I think that was a poor man's attempt of trying to make a fool of himself on stage and do ETF education. But I've never done that before. I think, you know, Eric Balchunas has coined this effort that we've done on stage debating ETFs as an ETF rap battle. Some of my colleagues have done poems in the past and have done really cool laser shows and things to that effect. I just thought I had to try to bring it this year in an attempt to dethrone Matt Hogan, who unfortunately, for my sake, he won. But I felt like, you know, we did some good ETF education on stage and had a good time. And I think the audience hopefully learned something too.
Yeah, and to add some context, this was the annual Battle of ETF Pundits, where you compete with other ETF gurus, including Dave Noddick, who just joined us. So you each pitch the best new ETF of the past year. And I will say, I think everyone agrees you should have won without question. So we'll leave it
at
that.
I'm not sure Matt Hogan agrees with that one or the voters. But no, all in seriousness, I think it's a great way for the audience to get a sense of, one, what the seven of us do. How we compare and contrast our approaches to analyzing ETFs. Each of us looks at things from a different perspective, obviously has a different skill set that they try to show on stage. I think it also adds a bit of levity to a conference, which is an excellent conference, but a lot of it is asset managers up on stage making the case for their products, and you know, what we're doing is offering an independent perspective. You know, Dave, Eric, Matt, myself, Ben, you know, I won't go through the whole list of everybody, but I think it's a great event. I'm excited to be doing it year after year with the same crew.
Yeah, and quickly here, because I do want to get to the fee cuts, any major takeaways from the conference for you?
Well, I think what really stood out to me was, you know, actively managed ETFs have been percolating behind the scenes, particularly fixed income ETFs were very popular in 2018. But I think we saw asset managers that people are more familiar with in the mutual fund world raise their presence at this conference and educate investors that there doesn't need to be an index behind it. So we saw Davis, we saw PGIM, obviously PIMCO's been around for a number of years in the actively managed ETF space, other firms as well. I think that it's going to be a really exciting year for actively managed ETFs 2019.
No, I agree. That certainly stood out to me as well. All right, so let's move on. I want to first get your thoughts on the SoFi filing for four ETFs, two of which would be offered for free after fee waivers. What was your take on this?
I think it's very exciting. I think I've been on beforehand talking that we were likely to see zero fee ETFs in 2019. We put a call out there in December. If anybody wants to find that, the article is in the public domain at ETF.com. In mid-December, we published it on CFRA's MarketScope Advisor platform in advance. We just were caught off guard as to who it would be. We named four different asset managers that have a presence that we thought could go to market. I think this is great. I think if you're going to crash the ETF party, you need to show up in a big way, and a zero fee approach, I think, is compelling. I think it's going to garner investor interest. And I don't think, to get in front of where you may go on this, I don't think this is a gimmick. SoFi has made a compelling case for low-cost investing and low-cost banking for a number of years. And fee waivers are just a normal part of things. You know, there's many ETFs that are competitively priced, that have a fee, but are competitively priced because they have a fee waiver that has been renewed year after year after year.
So, I'm sorry,
let me stop and let you join.
So to be clear, is your expectation that the fee waiver is going to remain in place?
I do think that we're going to see this certainly go beyond 2020. I think there's a greater likelihood, so as long as the money is coming into these products, that the fee waiver stays in place. I think, yeah, there's more likelihood that in 3 years, if this fails to gather assets, that these products don't exist, as opposed to the fee magically going from 0 to 19 basis points. And I think they're going to find some competition. There'll be other firms that will offer a zero-fee ETF in 2019. I think this opens the door and removes some of the potential stigma that might be out there.
All right, so right on the heels of the SoFi filings, we also learned last week that Vanguard chopped fees on a bunch of ETFs, including some of the most popular ETFs on the planet. So VOO, their S&P 500 ETF, VTI, the total U.S. stock market ETF, VWO, their emerging markets ETF. And one of the interesting aspects to these fee cuts was they only applied to the ETFs. So, of course, Vanguard's ETFs are a share class of their mutual funds, but these fee cuts only apply to the ETFs. What did you make of this?
So Vanguard has typically cut fees, or the fees have been, obviously, they're reviewed on an ongoing basis, based on an annual basis, based on the assets inside. So the fees came down for the ETF share classes, but not the Admiral share classes of the mutual funds, simply because money actually went in the door for the ETF share classes. I believe two of the three funds that you cited, the Admiral share class mutual fund version, the actual assets under management declined in 2018. Now, the funds declined in value, obviously, with the S&P 500 down, total stock market down, bonds essentially flat. But there was more money going into ETFs, and so I think it's reasonable that ETF shareholders get the benefits. I think you and the audience probably knows I'm a big advocate of going beyond the expense ratio, but when the index is the same as it is for the S&P 500 index, a basis point savings for VOO versus IVV is a big deal. They are essentially the same product tracking the same index with essentially the same liquidity, both on screen and behind screen. Why not pay less? There's other Vanguard fee cuts where it's much more than the basis point or two savings that investors would get. You know, we're talking about VWO, we're talking about VYM, and happy to go further, but you know, happy to, again, keep you in this conversation.
Hey, Todd, Connor Kelly. The first thing I thought of with the Vanguard fee cut announcements is, how do other smaller firms survive? I mean, it is very clear that the ETF universe is becoming one of massive scale necessary to survive with these ultra low fees. That I just would like your take on where this ends, right, with all of these other mid-tier and smaller tier providers out there that obviously do not and probably never will have the scale that a company like Vanguard has.
Yeah, you're definitely correct. So I think what we've seen is a bifurcation. So, you know, smaller asset managers that were later to the party or just don't have the scale are not likely to be launching a broadly diversified total stock market or total bond market or S&P 500 index-based approach. They're playing more in the thematic approaches, the actively managed approaches, other smart beta types, you know, where they can offer something unique and proprietary. I do find it interesting that today, it's just coincidental that it's today, that Defiance has launched a thematic ETF, mm-hmm. FIVG, and it's 30 basis points that, you know, we typically find thematic-oriented ETFs. I think of Hack, or I think of Gamer, or I think of some of the Global X products that are 60, 70 basis points, even higher for that is. So this is they're trying to gain investor attention in a low-cost way. And I think that's why you have to do it. But hopefully they're able to gather assets to offset the cost of obviously coming in at 30 instead of 60 or above.
Yeah, I think I saw Eric Balchunas called it BlackRock repellent, right? Having the fee at that price point. Todd, what about for the larger fund companies? Because one of the takeaways I had from Inside ETFs, and I think I was wrong on this, was that the overall fee war was winding down. Just in visiting with several larger providers, I got the impression they are completely fatigued, and it was almost like they were hoping everyone would just play nice. But obviously between SoFi and Vanguard, and then we saw State Street come out with a lower-cost junk bond ETF on Friday as well. Clearly that's not the case. So where does this all end for the larger companies, the companies with scale? What's the end game?
I think we're going to see pricing come down. I want to stay on that high-yield one from State Street for a moment. They are taking an existing product, CJNK, which right now is a crossover a portfolio. So it invests in lower investment-grade bonds and high-yield bonds, so triple B and double B-rated bonds, and they're converting to an index that is going to be only in the high-yield, so double B, single B, and below, and basically be a cheaper alternative to their own JNK product. That's going to be the new product is going to be considerably less in price, and they're essentially competing with themselves, but because they want to have the money going to them instead of to iShares or to DWS that offers a low-cost high-yield bond product, HYLB. I think it's nice to hope that competition levels out, but 3.8 trillion and counting in assets and likely to climb higher, I think we're going to see the big boys continue to be aggressive in all areas of the marketplace. So there's going to be no sacred cows. We've seen JP Morgan be aggressive in the single country space, which has been iShares' dominant area for a number of years. I don't think we're anywhere close to done in this competitive pressure. And I think that's great for investors.
Do you think we could see a negative fee ETF at some point?
Certainly, why not? I mean, right now we don't have any zero fee ETFs, but we think there'll be at least two, and if not more than two, in 2019. But I think listeners know you can make money through securities lending, and obviously you can make money surrounding the products as well. So I don't think it's going to happen in 2019, but I do think that in the next 10 years, certainly there'll be a product where you'll get rewarded for investing within their package as long as you're doing other things to help the company out, whether it's at Schwab or Fidelity or any other place that has a wrapped fee that you can be a participant in.
All right, Todd, we have about 2 minutes left. One last area I wanted to touch on is the commission-free ETF platforms. So we recently saw both Fidelity and Schwab expand their offerings to, I think, around 500 ETFs. And these are typically pay-to-play, right? ETF providers have to pay a fee to be included on these platforms, which means it's a cost of operating an ETF, which, you know, theoretically gets passed on to shareholders. Do you view that as a problem, either in terms of transparency for investors or just that there's perhaps an uneven playing field for smaller ETF providers who don't have the same opportunity for product distribution?
Yeah, I actually think that the problem is as much as that investors are going to choose the easy button and they're going to see that commission-free list and only choose among those products. Now, the good thing is the list has expanded, so it's not just one product and investment style or from one fund family, but you actually can compare and contrast and then determine which of these is better and then determine if you're not happy with the exposure you're getting, wanting to go with something and agree to pay the $4 or $5. You know, these are in commission. The commission cost is minimal compared to the difference that you'd find within. I'm less concerned that you need to be on the platform to get investor attention. It, you know, the zero fee products are not the ones that will end up there. There'll be products that are charging 30, 40 basis points that the asset manager wants to get investor attention for it. I just unfortunately think that that's the world we live in, and investors need to do their own homework to make sure they're getting the right choice, whether they use the research that we have at CFRA, the research that's available on ETF.com, others that are out there. There's lots of tools to compare and contrast beyond the home office decisions.
Well, Todd, I think that's the perfect note to end on. Really enjoyed chatting. Next time, you're going to have to rap live on the show.
Oh, but, God. God help us all.
Thank you for joining us today.
A pleasure, guys. Thanks a lot.
That was Todd Rosenbluth, Director of ETF and Mutual Fund Research at CFRA. And if you're on Twitter, certainly recommend giving Todd a follow. He's at Todd CFRA.